Pledge of Allegiance.
United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
First of all, I'd like to recognize the appointment of John Kennedy to the commission. I think he's got all his, finally got all the paperwork in order. And welcome you to the commission. Any changes or additions to the agenda?
Commissioner DeBleek, we updated the item number... Item number 8, so if you haven't refreshed your iPad here this morning, please refresh.
Okay.
And also, Commissioner DeBleek, on item number 2 on the agenda, do you want to do the appointment of Commissioner Kennedy to the Labor Committee, where our vacant seat is?
Yeah, we can make that appointment. Where the vacancy is, fill in. Do you accept that, John? Does that take a motion or anything?
Yeah, I would say you can appoint.
Also note that Commissioner Muskie is acting secretary for this meeting. We have approval of the consent agenda, which includes the minutes from September 26th, and review payment of bills in the amount of $1,098,216.69. Are there questions or John, want to point anything out on the bills?
Thank you, Commissioner DeBleek. Commissioner Kennedy being new here around the commission, as you look at the accounts payable list, you'll see a number of them that are highlighted in yellow. That's an indication of those invoices being associated with our capital improvement projects. So anytime you see that, that's what it's telling you.
Thank you.
Other than that, I'd be more than happy to field any questions that the commission may have on the bills. Otherwise, there's really nothing unusual on them.
Yeah, just, I have one on page 9 for the Stewart C. Irby. It looks like we purchased some UG cable for 2023. Is that just an inventory purchase or on hand or?
Page 9 cable. Yeah, V cable would be going into inventory. Who's
okay.
It from, Commissioner Erickson?
Stewart C. Irby. Yes, it's kind of split between the pages there. Bottom of 8 and then
Rolls 8. Okay, I got it. Sorry. Yeah, we got 2-inch duct that we purchased and then secondary cable. That secondary cable, I can probably refer that to Kevin. He'd have greater detail. Kevin, is that for it's the notes here 2023, so we pre-bought because of the time frame. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We've been doing that as long as you asked that question, Commissioner Erickson. It's a good question. Due to the lag time and the availability of numerous products that we work with ongoing, we are trying to purchase inventory for next year already, because of the time frame that it takes to get stuff.
Perfect. Thank you.
More questions on the bills? Does somebody want to enter a resolution to approve the consent agenda, which those items?
So moved.
Second. All in favor? Roll call.
Certainly. Commissioner Baumgart?
Aye.
Muskie?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Thank you.
Next item on the agenda, we have a scheduled public hearing for water rate adjustments. Say that. Next agenda item is a public hearing on staff recommendations to pass a resolution recommending that the city, Wilmer City Council adopt an ordinance implementing water rate adjustments for 2023 through 26. Public hearing is a meeting that is held where members of the public can express their views and opinions. The purpose of the hearing is to allow anyone who wants to speak on the proposed adjustment water rates for 2023 through 2026 to have an opportunity. The commission will not be deliberating or discussing the proposal during the public hearing itself. Instead, the commission will simply listen to those who decide to speak, and public comments will be begin with the staff summary in the proposal of the rate adjustments. When members of the public may address the commission may also ask questions of staff during the public hearing. Once the public comment portion of the public hearing is finished, I will close the public meeting and the commission will deliberate the acts on the resolution recommending the rate adjustments. That being said, I will open the public hearing at this time. John, do you want to make some comments?
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner DeBleek. A little background on the project as well as financing and the impact that it will have on our customers' bills. So the Northeast Water Treatment Plant, we have two water treatment plants in the community. We refer to them as the Northeast and the Southwest. The project we're talking about today is the Northeast. Has been in planning stages for several years to accommodate capacity needs for the growth of the community. Federal state funding resources have been pursued for several years, and we have exhausted all avenues in being able to obtain any grant funding, both at state or federal level. Because of the residential and industrial growth, the capacity needs of the community are growing, and the project can no longer be delayed. We delayed the project about 2 years ago. Maybe it's even coming up on 3 years ago when we were unable to land any grant funding. And due to the cost and the fact that we had, you know, a small margin of capacity left, we elected to put the project on hold for the time being. The water rate study was conducted and accepted by the commission of July 25th, 2022. The study was based on financing needs of the project with bonds. The suggested water rate increases proposed were 20% each for the following years, 2023, 24, 25, and 26 in 2026. When the bids for the project came in at $3.5 million below the engineer's estimate, a new financial plan model was created utilizing in-house funding versus with bonds. The commission supported the new concept to finance the project, ultimately saving approximately $3.5 million in interest by utilizing $5 million from the electric division reserves funds. This would decrease the water rate increases recommended for years 2023 through 2026 that were proposed in our water rate study. Modified rates and the rate ordinance proposed increases are 20% in 2023, 5% in 2024, 4% in 2025, and 3% in 2026. As recommended in the rate study, we're also proposing to add a multi-unit rate to capture multi-unit dwellings and apartment buildings to keep rates equitable within other rate classes. Also, the opposed ordinance modifies the summer rate classification by adding 1 month to the summer rate to include the month of May, as month is typically can be a fairly high watering month as well. This will balance the billing months to reflect the summer months watering month from May through September appearing on the June through October billing. It adds 1 month to the summer rate, allowing for expanding water conservation efforts. rate increase impact on our customers is as follows. So what does a 20%, 5%, 4%, and 3% mean? Residential customer using 720 cubic feet, which is roughly our average residential customer, currently they pay about $32 on a monthly bill. The increases that we're talking about will increase their monthly bill by $11.22, or an average over the 4 years of $2.81 per year over the each of the four years. On the commercial side, a little larger volume, 3,690 cubic feet. Currently, their bill is roughly $99.68, so $100. Their bills will be increased by roughly $35 over 4 years, or $8.74 per month over the 4 years. Small industrial, we're looking at 110,000 cubic feet. Their current monthly bill is $1,662. That will go to $2,247, or a monthly increase of roughly $146. And the last category that we had is our large industrial, which is just shy of 6 million cubic feet. Currently, they pay roughly $80,000 per month. Their bill will go from $80,000 to $108,000, or it'll be an average of $7,000 per month over the course of the years, for a total of $28,000 increase. The rate study also looks at customer classifications, meaning our residential customers in comparison to commercial, to small industrial, and our large industrial, are they paying their fair share based on the expenses that are incurred by each customer classification? And through the rate study process, it was identified that there was no additional correction or balancing amongst our customer classifications that were needed, that our expenses were properly allocated, and the rates were set in each one of our classifications to properly reflect the cost of service to each. So that said, I'd be more than happy to field any additional questions.
Yep. With these increases, I know we've looked in the past at comparable cities and their water rates, and Wilmer has been very low. Where will that put us after these increases?
Commissioner Muskie, excellent question. Based on the latest AEI 2 study that we received here just this past week, when you look at the graph here, and they do multiple state studies, but when you look at just Minnesota for the water, the range goes from Elbertville down to $11 up to Fairmont at sitting at 82.73. We are kind of right in the middle of 33.93 when you look at the table here. So over 4 years, when you add our, on the residential side, basically $11, when you look at the chart here, you have $11.33, we'd end up like right here. But that would make the assumption nobody has any rate increase, and I would say that's an unrealistic expectation. So I would say over the 4 years, with our increase that we are looking at and with inflation that's out there, we are going to remain relatively close to the middle of our rates in comparison to the communities that are part of this survey.
Thanks for having that. Actually, I didn't know you had it right underneath there. It was pretty nice to have a graphic included in your answer. Any idea about if there's a special session, and it's a big if, anything, would we have a retroactive thing since the legislation didn't get done?
That's another excellent question, Commissioner Muskie. I had a conversation with Representative Baker on Friday, and ask him to reach out to us, or I'll be reaching out to him if I become aware of that. So we talk through what bonding at this point in our process could potentially mean. We need to, I shouldn't say we know, We anticipate that the cost to accept that bond is going to be roughly $2 million from our previous discussions. That was prior to going to bid. So now after we have a contractor, and if we are awarded some bonding dollars, we are going to have to negotiate those increased costs that are added by accepting those bonding dollars to the project. So how many dollars do we need for it to be advantageous for us to accept? We don't know that, but before we accept any dollars, we would have to work through that with the contractor.
I guess move on with the public hearing. What signed up on the sheet to speak, and then any members of the public here that would like to speak. So, and
close the public hearing.
Move on, Beth. Was there any written communications from anyone?
Not that I'm aware of.
No. Okay. So does the Commission have any further questions of staff? And if there are no additional comments from any members of the public who have not already been heard, proposed rate adjustments, and if not, does the Commission have any questions of staff at this point? Hearing none, if there's no one else wishing to address the commission, would entertain a motion to close the public hearing. No, Sean.
I would move to close the public hearing.
Second.
Oh.
And that is just a simple motion. All those in favor of closing the public hearing, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion would carry. Now we have the commission to consider resolution 22, number 40, recommending water rate adjustments to the city council. There's someone that would like to introduce that resolution. Is there a second?
Second.
Discussion? Beth, you want to call the roll?
Certainly. Okay, we got Commissioner Kennedy.
Aye.
DeBleek.
Aye.
Erickson.
Aye.
Baumgart.
Aye.
Muskie.
Aye.
Moving on, item number six. The monthly financial reports. Andrea, you want to bring us up to date on the reports?
August here. And for the electric division, our residential and commercial industrial revenues are down about $440,000 from the previous year. Expenses are down about $104,000. Earnings down about $527,000. When we look at the water division, when we factor in the 5% rate increase for this year, those commodity sale revenues are down about $145,000 from where we'd expect them to be. The expenses are up about $90,000. Retained earnings down about $78,000 from last year. We look at the both combined retained earnings are down about $605,000 from last year. Now the next page is the graph that compares the month to month to last year and this year, and also the year to date for each category last year and this year. Our next report is cost of power for August. And that was just over 9 cents, and being a summer month, that's not unusual. Our last report our investment summary. Month-end balance about $44,353,000. No significant notes for that month.
Any questions on the financial reports? Thank you. Wind turbine. Kevin, status on the wind turbines.
Thank you. Down the wind turbine. If you look at the wind turbine report for September, you notice the availability for both units and then the total kilowatt output at 311,668. The major discrepancy there with availability and is annual maintenance took place early September. Turbine 3 took quite a bit more than we were expecting once we got up inside, or the guys got up inside the turbines and had to replace some bladders out inside the blades. That took quite a bit more time, so we weren't expecting that. So it drove down our availability number a little bit. Looking at the next page, you can see where we lie year to date, 5,929,749 kilowatt hours. That puts us just about a dead heat with last year. Got three more months to go, so we're hoping for some windy end of the year.
Good.
Questions?
You said the bladder.
Correct.
Placements.
I don't know the complete technical what the bladders do. I believe they hold the pressure inside, and then they'll hold the blades and such in position. So the turbines will operate if the bladders are leaking, but it's fail safe. One in each blade on each turbine.
Keep them updated and running smoothly. So.
Yeah, I was just wondering, looking at the summary output, do you typically always do your maintenance in September?
Typically, yes. We do it late August, early September.
Okay.
That's historically when you have your lowest wind, and aligned with temperatures that are bearable to be up there working. Ideally, you'd do it in July when the temperature, you know, when the wind is at its least, but it's not fun being up there, so.
Okay.
Usually early September.
I saw that the lows are pretty much always in July, but thank you.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thank you,
Kevin. Next, we have item 8, Janelle, talk about property liens.
Good afternoon.
Placed on utility bills that are unpaid.
Yep, so we will be talking about the 2022 liens that we'll be certifying to property taxes. We got a couple new commissioners here, so I will run through this. So if you have any questions on this process, you know, please feel free to ask. The state of Minnesota allows municipal utilities to certify unpaid utility charges to the county auditor for collections with taxes. Delinquent charges certified to the county auditor assume the same status as other taxes. The outstanding debt becomes a lien or charge against the property, and the law states that the governing body of this, which would be the city of Willmar, they'll be certifying this on our behalf, may certify the unpaid charges to the county auditor with taxes against the property served for collection as other taxes are collected. A complete review of our utility accounts and property owners has been completed. The delinquent accounts are finalized. The 2022 lien letters have been sent to notify the individuals of the opportunity to come before the Municipal Utilities Commission to request a hearing to contest the proposed lien against their property for unpaid utilities. To date, we've received no request to the contest of the letters that were sent. So it's recommended that the attached list of parcels be considered by the commission and request the City of Willmar to place them as liens on the properties. The total collectible amount recommended to be certified as liens is $21,744.55. So, and with that, we have the list was on the second page. Do you have any questions regarding this process or what it all means or anything?
Will those customers be notified of the lien being placed on their property?
Yeah, they've been notified, already.
Notified.
Yes, they've been notified, their opportunity to come and contest it. And then when they receive their property tax statement, it will appear in there as a special assessment under utilities.
Was this compared to previous years?
Actually, I looked that up because I was really curious on that. So in 2020, we certified $42,000. In 2021, we certified $37,300. Now in 22, we're down to $21,744. So we've really beefed up our collection efforts. We make personal contact with accounts every month by a phone call instead of just letters or disconnect notice, and so the communication emails with the customers has really been beefed up and has really made a huge, huge difference in our collection efforts.
No further questions on the placing of the liens on paid property bills. Does somebody want to introduce a resolution?
So move.
Second.
Okay. Commissioner Muskie?
Aye.
Kennedy?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Erickson?
Aye.
Baumgart?
Aye. Thank you. Before you step down, would the commission like to hear other avenues that we utilize in our collection efforts besides the revenue property tax levies? We inform for the commission,
sure.
Then they
okay.
Have the full picture.
Sure, I can. In addition to the property tax is usually one of our last avenues between the property tax and a collection agency. So in 2022, we have started working with the collection agency also. And then we also work with the Minnesota Revenue Recapture. So on delinquent accounts, we'll submit the name to them for collection. And how that works is if they have an income tax refund, our money is pulled out of that first and sent directly to us. So that's another avenue we're using. And then, yeah, I already said the collection agency. And that is a new avenue, and that's been a little slower, but we are collecting. And people do not like being called by a collection agency. And they do contact us, and they are taking care of things. So, and then, like I said, in addition to us beefing up our phone calls and making personal contact with our customers, which was part of the results from the customer satisfaction survey we did last year. They like being contacted. So we are taking the time and contacting them. And then the last ditch effort before we disconnect, we had gone away from this a few years back, and we have gone back to it, and that is hanging door hangers on people's doors before they get disconnected. And that has been a huge, huge response. People pay attention then, and they do come down and pay their bills. So we're disconnecting less, and it really has improved our customer communications with them. So
how long do you give before you disconnect? I mean, you hang a door hanger. Do you give them a week or 10 days? Or?
Well, the door hanger is usually the last, and we like to give them 2 or 3 days. They've gotten phone calls. They've gotten emails. They've gotten their bill, they've gotten a disconnect notice in the mail, and the door hanger is our last resort. And then, depending on the day, because we don't disconnect on Fridays, we'll give them a day or two. And I'm going to say 9 times out of 10, they're coming in and taking care of it. It's been a successful program, and I commend the customer service staff because they have really stepped up and put a lot of effort into this, and they're being successful.
Thank you, Janelle. Didn't mean to put you on the spot, but.
Oh, no, it's fine.
But yeah, to echo what Janelle said, staff here does a phenomenal job staying on top of our accounts and working with the customers.
Numbers speak for themselves, obviously.
Yeah.
If you're talking about how it's decreased down to 21,000, obviously those efforts are working.
Yeah.
Well done.
Yep. Okay.
And to put things into perspective, that's 21,000 out of about 36 million
mm-hmm.
that we collect annually. So.
So. Right. Thank you.
On to item nine, Moody's investment services upgrade.
Right. Thank you, Commissioner DeBlee. That's more or less just an FYI. Missouri River Energy Services continues to maintain one of the highest bond ratings of joint action agencies out there. So we have to commend staff there at Missouri River for doing that. WMMPA is Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency. They are actually the financing entity for Missouri River Energy Services. As when Missouri River Energy Services was formed, Minnesota was the only state of the four that had laws, statutes that allowed for financing of multi-state entities. So that's what Minnesota ended up being, the financing entity for Missouri River as a whole. And what does that mean? Basically, the improved upgrade in the bond ratings means lower interest rates. So, but the debt that Missouri River has and potentially upcoming, and right now are in the process of refunding one of the bonds, that means savings for us as members of Missouri River as a utility. So, any questions on that?
Do they request this, or is this just an overall rating that they?
Excellent question, Commissioner Kennedy. Usually Missouri River going into either a new bond that's required or refinancing of a bond, we request the rating agencies to look at the organization to see if there's opportunity or potential opportunity to upgrade, as it has a significant impact on the rates, and we're talking, you know, the millions of dollars that we have financed. So. Any other questions?
Item 10, General Manager's Report.
All right, thank you, Commissioner DeBlee.
John, do you want to kind of explain processes with MMUA when they call?
Sure, I can start with that and then introduce our two linemen that took part in it. So, when the hurricane was coming in down in Florida, MMUA reached out to all the utilities in Minnesota to see if anybody was willing to help. A request was made by the Florida utilities through FEMA, and we are part of the FEMA network or mutual aid network. So we have agreements all in place that allow us to go, and those agreements that are in place basically cover, you know, how payment is made, who's responsible for it, where they're going, work comp, how work comp is handled in the event somebody gets hurt out there. That's all spelled out in our mutual aid agreement. So those agreements are all in place. So when a state makes a request, or Minnesota would need to make a request of other states, the agreements are there. It's just a matter of phone call to the other states, agencies like MMUA. That's kind of the overarching umbrella of all the utilities. You reach out to them and say, hey, we need help. Can somebody help? So in this case, Florida reached out, wanted help. On Wednesday evening, we received our first email. And by Thursday evening, the two gentlemen that are here were on the road. I think that was the schedule or timing. That's on right. Wednesday you're on the road. Tuesday you're leaving. Okay. All right. Thank you. Yeah, so it was Monday we received the email, and by Tuesday evening they were on the road. So that's kind of how the mutual aid works. When we need mutual aid, hopefully we never need. We'd sooner go help than to have the help. So we're always happy to do that. Costs that we incur while they're gone is reimbursed usually through FEMA or the utility they were providing services for. So if there's any questions on how that works, if not, I'll ask Joe and Ryan to come up to the podium. Rather than me informing the commission that we were down there, they arrived back home, so it's welcome back to the two guys. They arrived home late Friday afternoon, so I asked them if they'd be inclined to come up here, talk about when they left, when they got back, and some of the challenge that they ran into or that they were asked to take care of while they were out there. So, go ahead.
All right. I'm Joe. yeah, it was kind of a rush situation as far as time frame goes. Monday, they said, possibly, and Thursday. And then wanted us in Rochester Monday morning, Wednesday morning. Truck ready. We didn't have it was a rush situation. We hit the road Tuesday night. Long drive down there. In a, 30 hours.
Yeah.
Caravan. I think there was 14 other utilities. Had trucks with a couple mechanics that way. No one really needed them, but have up in. Originally, we're going to go to. Drive there pretty early. 5 days there. Hours a day. Some of the work, I mean, it was pretty straightforward work. A lot of trees taken down lines, a lot of poles that were leaning in the trees. It's all relatively practice fixing wise.
Twelve thousand.
Sorry.
Area, it was 117 square miles.
Most of they split everybody up into crews on our crew.
Gentlemen, thank you. Appreciate you, you know, offering to go and representing us down there as well. So kudos to you guys. Any other questions on our mutual aid assistance down to Florida? All right. The other items we have on there is Labor Committee coming up year end. We'll be getting our policies. Actually, Janelle informed me this morning that she started working on them. So as soon as we have them in place, look for a calendar invite from Beth here on setting those meetings up. And then for future events under adjournment there, Bruce, Commissioner DeBleek and Commissioner Lomer signed up to go to Alexandria along with, we'll have three additional staff members there for an update from Missouri River at the area meeting. So that would conclude my update on our general manager's report, but more than happy to answer any additional questions.
Any commissioners have additional questions of general manager or? Is there a motion to adjourn the meeting?
Or John can do it.
Yeah. Do adjourn? Yeah, all right. We're adjourned.